this is going to be a very educational, informative. We're going to get into the depths of deliverance that I believe most have not heard. You know, Dr. Bob for me is one of the only voices that gets to this depth of deliverance. It's very necessary for the church, very needed for the church. And I believe there's an explosion of deliverance that is taking place all over. You know, a deliverance ministry, a ministry that is focused on deliverance, on the demonic, you know, has a lot of interference, has a lot of things that like this happens. And then we're going to get into it. So as I'm praying, I want you to stretch out your hands on the screens, wherever you're watching from right now, and invite people. Thumbs up, people. Let us all know where you're watching from, how many is watching with you. That Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for your presence. I pray for the anointing. I pray for a covering over this broadcast. Let those who are supposed to listen and hear this broadcast, let this reach them. Even afterwards, let this reach them. Let the anointing be saturated over this broadcast. Protect every signal, protect every communication, every avenue. We bind every and we take authority over every airwave, that every demonic interference in every airwave. And we pray that those who need deliverance, those who need to be set free, those who need to be led to houses of worship and churches and ministries to be set free, that they'll be coming onto this broadcast, and that communication will be protected. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Guys, just take the broadcast, share it with somebody, tag somebody, like somebody. I see we're already over 1,200 on our different platforms. As I shared earlier, just before I bring Dr. Bob on, you know, we want to respect and honor his time, but I also want to I want to make most of the time tonight. We have all our branches connecting, our three branches in South Africa. We have our partners coming on that is from all over the world, global partners of Leon de Prayer Ministries, that is from the United States, from all over. And I really felt needed to get this broadcast out, because in my travels in ministry, I have seen just a lot of mistakes, and I'm going to speak a little bit about it tonight with Dr. Bob, just things that's been on my heart where I've seen mistakes. We've had numerous people over the last 6 years since we planted our church. Obviously, before that, we had travel ministry. I would go from church to church, traveling, doing revival ministry, ministering, and would see mistakes being done on deliverance ministry. Now, we're all growing, but then we planted the church, and in the last few years, we've taken thousands of people, I think close to 2,000 people through deliverance. We've learned, you know, how to do it effectively, how to not do it effectively. We've grown into this time, but we've seen people coming that were not able to be set free in their local ministries. And this is nothing to be condemning about. We're not here to put any churches down, any ministries down. I want this broadcast tonight to be informative, educational, to be encouraging, and to really bring a positive light and a positive view to people and ministers that are going to be watching tonight, to know that you can take the step, open up your ministry for deliverance, but also open up your life for deliverance. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Bob on. I want to read just his biography, just the work that he's done, the incredible work that he's done. Then I'm going to bring him up. Guys, in the meantime, I want everybody to still tell me where you're watching from. I have all your comments here, so I can read your comments. I believe Dr. Bob can read your comments. And, you know, I can... We're going to respond to some comments tonight. Let us know where you're watching from, how many is watching with you, because I know we have families, we have households that is watching, we have different groups that are logging in. So let me know, and then after you've commented that, just type in, you know, fire emojis, write the word deliverance, so that it can begin to pick up on the algorithm. I want to just introduce Dr. Bob. I want to read this his biography. So Dr. Bob Lawson is the world's foremost, obviously number one expert on cult, the occult, and the supernatural phenomena. He has ministered in more than 100 countries and has appeared on network TV shows such as Oprah, Inside Edition, Entertainment Tonight, The Insider, Anderson Cooper's 360, ABC TV, Good Morning America, Nightline, The Current Affairs, CNN Headline News, Hannity, Dr. Phil. I mean, you can't get more than that. Numerous television networks have produced special reports about Dr. Bob, including Discovery, Showtime, TLC, A&E, BBC, History, National Geographic, and MSNBC. Dr. Bob has been featured in the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Daily News, London, Financial Times, Germany, and other major publications. International TV documentaries have included Brazil, Germany, Norway, France, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Holland, Belgium, Japan, Korea. He is the president of a highly acclaimed, which I really recommend, an online international school of exorcism with hundreds of alumni in scores of nations. Dr. Bob is the author of nearly 40 books, which I've got books of him here, and I'm going to show that just now. And 40 books translated into more than a dozen languages, including Larson's Book of Spiritual Warfare, Larson's Book of World Religions, Demon Proofing Prayers, Curse Breaking, Jezebel, Dealing with Demons, and 4 fictional novels. So guys, I see we're touching 1,500 numbers right now, 1,500 people minimum watching right now. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Bob on the broadcast. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to tonight. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate, you know, this moment so much. I know it is long overdue.
Thank you very much. We've looked forward to this for a long time. I enjoyed having the opportunity to be with you previously when I had you on my live stream, so I'm happy to join in with you tonight for South Africa. As you know, I've been to Africa, South Africa many times.
Yes.
I've crossed track maybe 15, 20 times throughout the years, even back to apartheid times. Now more recently, and I've been everywhere now in South Africa. My wife considers Cape Town to be her favorite city on the planet. Not only is gorgeous, hi to everybody in Cape Town. We've been to probably a half a dozen game parks, so I know we've driven the garden route. We know South Africa, we love South African people, and to top it all off, my oldest daughter, who is a doctor, married a South African.
Wow, wow.
One generation removed, his mother was born. Still has family there. He was actually born in America, but he looks and like a South African. He even speaks Afrikaans. So
that is incredible.
So anyway, I'm just saying that for me to be talking to people in South Africa, it's not like it's a strange world for me. I know the world well.
Well, no, this is incredible, Dr. Bob. We're just fixing some sound issues here, and the guy says the sound is better. But I know when I spoke to you earlier, you told me all your travels also to South Africa. Obviously, Cape Town. Cape Town is my my favorite place, but the Lord is not allowing me to move there. And so we planted a church there. One of my pastors got a church there. He received a lot of importation from you. Deliverance really broke out in Cape Town in our church there. You know, when I do a conference there, I just came back from a conference there. I mean, we'll have 700 plus people every night, and it can be raining, ice cold. And I love Cape Town. And people saying sound is better. I just want to confirm that, if David can just check up on that. So, Dr. Bob, I want to say this to everybody on here that, you know, I was on an interview with your channel previously, and then after that I had a session with you, private session, and, just something that, I know Pastor Vlad, he told me one thing. He said, Leon, if there's any person that I'll ever go to for deliverance or just to scan me and to pray for me and so on, it's Dr. Bob. And, I remember I was in a prayer session with you just for deliverance and for checks on my life. And, I want to tell you that after that, I know we haven't touched base but, things really, really went well. There's a lot of things that cleared up. I want to encourage, and I'm saying this so that I can encourage people on here, that I can encourage ministers on here, because I think there's a lot of reputation, a lot of self-reputation that people have that keeps them from going for deliverance. There's a bad doctrine, there's a bad belief. I have the belief, obviously, we have to be fully delivered, but I also have the belief that we have to do regular checkups, especially if we are deliverance ministers, we have to do regular checkups. And, I thought it was good just for you to scan me, for you to see through me and to just go through things in the past, because you have a very unique way of very meticulous, systematic way of deliverance, which I have not seen with anyone I've met a lot of ministers. I've done deliverance for many years, and I can acknowledge that I've done many things wrong, and I'm learning. And, you know, one flawed thing that I've seen, and I want to give you opportunity to speak and ground to obviously time to speak, but I wanted us to kind of like touch on this on a few topics. We're going to get to why everybody needs deliverance, obviously, that is watching, why it is important for every Christian to go through deliverance, especially after they are saved, why it is important, or what is the signs that somebody needs deliverance. But I also want to touch on why it is important for ministers, pastors, senior pastors, to be fully delivered. Dr. Bob, I went through a little bit of a testimony. I went through, you know, I came out of a background of drugs and coming off the streets, and when I got saved, I really battled with demons. There was very few people that could set me free, so I went on a journey to really get myself set free. And self-deliverance is obviously not the best advice. You know, you're struggling with a demon while the demon is screaming, you're trying to cast it out, and you know, it's not the best thing to do. But I went through the journey of that. Eventually came to some people that could do deliverance, and the Lord really set me free. You know, there came a time, and I was explaining it to our church, and we have close to 2,000 people watching right now. I explained to our church that about 4 years into my journey into ministry and, you know, being saved, and I was radically on fire for the Lord, and I came to a place of renewing my mind, which I think is important. We're going to finish off by that with, I just wanted to get your input on the importance of a mind to be renewed. But when my mind was renewed, and there was a place where I was fully delivered, where there was no longer voices in my head. A lot of people think voices is normal because they've heard it their whole lives. So they think it is just because they've heard it, or because they, you know, it's a normal occurrence. They think it's normal, and it is not normal. And I think this is a thing a lot of ministers are trapped in. Dr. Bob, I wanted to ask you this. What do you think, or what can you tell us is the importance for the church, to implement a deliverance system into their church, not as just a side ministry or getting somebody in to do it, but actually to train the people to do it? And number two, what limits the church or pastors from doing this, in your experience?
Let's start out with some definitions, because I think that's really important.
Yes.
Terminology means everything, because you can say something to somebody and use a term, but if they define it differently than you do, you may be trying to communicate one thing to them, and they're actually thinking and hearing something else, because they don't define that term the way that you do. So let's take the terms deliverance, exorcism, inner healing, and there may be others that we can add to that, but those are the ones most common to use. And to make it simple, to me, deliverance is the process of bringing spiritual freedom to a person's life. Someone who already knows the Lord, they're saved and born again. We're now bringing them to a place where they are free from many different things, and we can talk about what that is. Now, exorcism is casting out the demon, an actual confrontation and reciprocal verbal response and interrogation, and then methodically bringing closure to that process so the person knows definitively they have been delivered from a demon. But leading up to that process, there are these things commonly called inner healing and deliverance. So to say it another way, all exorcism is a deliverance. Not all deliverance is an exorcism. And one of the challenges somebody in this kind of ministry has is trying to determine, when someone comes to you seeking help, what is the measure of their problem? What is the source of their problem? What are the possibilities of what they might be experiencing? And what is it that they need? Do they need inner healing, which is a Christian form of a kind of psychotherapy without the bells and whistles, as we say, not attempting to do something psychoanalytically that you're not trained, schooled, or educated to do, but you are wanting to see the person in a healthier state emotionally, all right? So there are things that you can do, simple issues, like forgiveness, like letting go of past hurts and pain, and releasing to the Lord deep inner issues of anger or self-hatred or unworthiness. So that's inner healing. That's not deliverance. It's a form of deliverance, a measure of deliverance. But now deliverance takes it a step further and says, well, your problem isn't just your inner emotional world. It's an attack of the enemy. So that might involve cursing. Going into the family and seeing what issues there are that have brought evil into the genetic structure and into the family system. Now, exorcism is the end of that road if needed. It's not always needed. Some need inner healing, some need inner healing and a measure of deliverance. Some need an expulsion or the casting out of the demon. And the mistake, if I could just take the broad picture here that people make, is they don't know what their goal is when they start to minister to somebody. And that's not something you always know until you talk with the person, you vet them, you do some kind of an intake to understand where they're coming, what's the family of origin, what's their generational history, what have they been through in life. Now, this sounds very complicated, but it really isn't. You're just saying, do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? And then once you establish that, you know what your goal is. But
yes,
if I'll put it simply, most people who go into what's commonly called deliverance don't know what the goal is, because they don't, from an informational standpoint, have enough knowledge to see where that person needs to be taken. All right? And we can explore this in a bit more depth, but I think that's what puts people off about deliverance, is they don't know what it is.
Yes.
You know, they're like three blind men reaching out for an elephant and trying to describe it. Well, that's what it is. You know, that's the process that is thrust upon the Christian community.
Yes.
So we understand what the goal, and we listen to the person's story, and we collect the information about their life, which, by the way, you can't do necessarily in a mass deliverance session.
Yes, yes.
You can't do in a 5 or 10 or 15 minute process. That's just not possible.
Yes.
You can't just walk up to somebody, lay hands on them, and deliver them. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know that there are pastors and preachers out there who think they're doing that. You're helping the people. Prayer is helpful. Rebuking the devil is helpful. It's not deliverance. Let's understand what it is. Well, I'll stop there because
of course
I've talked a lot, but that's Pastor, what we have to know. What is the goal? What are we after? What is the paradigm of reality that we're working from? If we definitionally know that, then it's not this scary, weird, strange,
exactly,
boundaryless approach that could end up anywhere. Making sense?
No, it's making sense, Dr. Bob. And you touched on something at the end, and you know, that obviously I've seen, being in ministry, seeing a lot of people, because I, you know, I got trained where we understand, as you were terming now, the terms with deliverance, you know, inner healing, we can get to dissociative identity disorder, we can get into, you know, and then at the end, the goal, exorcism, and to set the person really free. You know, it is a process, but it is something that is meticulous. When we have done services, I have seen also a lot of ministers do services, you know, they'll have somebody manifest in the service, and they would there be rebuking the demon, and that is obviously fine. You can deal with the situation there, but the problem is the understanding. Many of them would think they have set the person free there. You know, what we do as a church, we immediately take that person, we deal with the demon that is manifesting, but then we take them and we put them into a deliverance session where we book them in for a specific systematic system where we then begin, where we've learned from your online academy, you know, and the advanced academy, to really ask questions. And I think a lot of people have spiritualized deliverance where they just scream and shout at a demon for show, for sensationalism. And, you know, and sensation is good to get traction on certain things, but the person is suffering. The person is becoming a victim of abuse, of emotion. I mean, if they are dissociative, and we know we have a lot of people watching tonight that have gone through certain trauma, through that have caused dissociative identity disorder, if they're in an emotional state, you know, that shouting, that authoritative screaming, you know, the preacher might think he's speaking at a demon, they might be speaking at a soul, he might be speaking at a personality, just causes that person to go into more trauma. They don't want to go to deliverance ministries. So, you know, we have tried to learn as a church to say, okay, look, you know, let's take this person through steps. But I've seen this weakness in the churches, and this has been bothering me. I've seen fellow ministers that is in the same circuit as me, that is all over South Africa, of course. And, you know, they would put videos out because deliverance became quite popular, especially even in South Africa recently. And, you know, they would put the videos up where they're casting demons out, and then they would act as if that person is free. And we're sitting there, we're looking at this person is not free. They're just screaming. You know, what is the need? And I think this is where we can get to, as you were speaking about deliverance. What is the need of a verbal interrogation?
I'll be happy to address that. Directly confronting a demon, getting it to come out and manifest, express its identity, there are a number of things that's achieved by that. First of all, the objective identification that you're actually dealing with a demon and you're not dealing with some state of consciousness or some mental health issue with the person. You're speaking to a demon. And yeah, when you've done this for a while, you know when it's a demon. The intensity of it, the evil, the way that it approaches you, the way that it reacts. You know it's an alien identity that is not human, it is supernatural. So that's the first thing. You objectify the process. Second thing is you are able then to find out some things the person doesn't know. They're tormented. Well, why are they tormented?
Yes.
Well, all these bad things are happening to them. Well, what's the source? What's the root of that? And so when you have a demon and you can put him under biblical authority and he has to answer and tell you exactly what's going on. Case in point, just before this session with you started, I was doing a virtual session with a woman who had been through enormous problems. She had suffered incest. She had been raped. She'd been through multiple relationships. And she's now approaching middle age. She's still single. She has been in serious automobile accidents. And at one time, they put her into an induced coma for 3 weeks to save her life. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of what she has suffered. But she did mention one thing, that she had a grandmother, her mother's mother, who practiced witchcraft. All right. Well, you know, within a few minutes, I confronted the demon. And so, simple question. All the suffering of this woman, what is the root? What's the main cause of it? The main cause, the demon said, is the grandmother. Well, how long has that curse of witchcraft been in the family?
Yes.
72 generations. All right. So now we have some facts to work with. We know that that's the main source of the problem, but that source goes way back. So there's a line of evil we've got to cut off. Okay? Well, then how did you get this woman? Conceived illegitimately, molested and raped, and then through other relationships that she had along the way with men, picked up more. All of a sudden, Leviathan, a spirit, he just pops up. I said, who are you? Leviathan. I said, wait a minute, you don't have anything to do with witchcraft. How did you get there? Through a relationship that she had. Well, then a spirit of incubus pops up. I'm her spiritual husband. Well, how'd you get there? Well, through this man that she slept with, and so on. You know the picture.
Yes.
So how are you going to know that if the demon doesn't tell you who it is, how it got there, and what needs to be cut off? So there's more we can talk about where you go from there. But the point is, the objectification of the phenomenon of possession and the requirement in most cases. Now, there are times when you don't get that distinctive manifestation.
Yes.
But you should always seek it and give the Lord the opportunity by the Holy Spirit to force that thing out into the open and tell you what you need to know to get this person free. If you stop short of that, you're giving this person a sense of false hope. You may have helped resolve some of their emotional problems, but if you don't get to that demon, the real internal evil, that toxicity and spiritual poison inside is still there. And then they're going to go away and be back where they were. Then they're going to get disillusioned with Christianity, with their faith. Now you got another problem.
This is very good, Dr. Bob. I saw some comments here, and this is what I wanted to bring up as you were talking is, you know, in South Africa, there's a very, I don't know, United States or so, but in South Africa, there's a very strong notion that you shouldn't let demons talk. And I, you know, it's obviously a very bad teaching. It causes people to not get their deliverance because they understand, you know, I've heard countless of preachers, I've been with countless of ministers that we would be in conferences together. The moment the person would begin to manifest, a demon would manifest, they would try to silence the demon and, you know, say, you know, I'm not going to give this demon glory, you know, you let them get glory and so on. And I really think it's a justification or it's a deflecting for that minister to not to really deal and confront because they don't know how to. So the easiest way is just to say, you know, let's quiet this demon. Let's carry them out of the service because they don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, it's a lack of education. I have not seen anybody, any school of deliverance, you know, and we scoured the internet as deep and as advanced as yours when it comes to the very specifics on how to methodically train somebody. So people have this notion, this doctrine that we shouldn't let demons talk. Yet Jesus made it very simple. He asked the man who was possessed with legion, you know, what is your name? He said, we are legion. It's a very simple and, you know, people trying to beat around the bush, but Jesus showed us. And that's just one example out of quite a few. We even see that over 55 times the Bible mentions evil spirits being cast out connected to Jesus in the New Testament. We see this revival of deliverance. We see Jesus' ministry broken up in three parts, which is deliverance, healing, preaching, preaching with power. But you know, my goal for this broadcast tonight, because I know it's going to, and we've just reached over 2,000 people minimum watching right now that's live now. I know it's going to go all over South Africa with ministers. You know, we are kind of like Encounter is seen as a deliverance ministry in South Africa. And we're learning so much from you. We have still so far to go. So I know people are going to listen to this, but there are ministers that I know that needs to listen to this to know the need for a demon to speak, like you said, because otherwise there's no identification, there's assumption. There's an assumption. A lot of people try to get a prophetic word about deliverance. And there are times when you can have a word of knowledge. But again, I believe it is a deflecting of dealing methodically with a person and preachers or ministers that simply don't know. And, you know, the best thing is just to be humble and say, I don't know. I want to train. I want to grow in this. You know, and obviously we're going to refer people to many more resources and so on your side that can assist them, that can help them. But the, you know, I spoke about, I asked you about the need for demons to speak. But I also know that in your course, and I know you cover this really big in your courses, there's online videos, obviously of you online, but also in your courses on your website, where the need for a demon to manifest, you know, you kind of like just cover it just now, but I want to break that notion because I saw a lot of comments on here, because there is a thing in South Africa where they say, you don't want them to manifest. You must just silence the demon. You must just bind the demon. But how do you know he's out? How do you know? You know, when I deal with deliverance, and I've got very limited, I mean, you've done over 50,000, 50,000 deliverance sessions. You know, you're a veteran in this. But the deliverance sessions that I've been in, the moment that demon comes to surface, you can see it in the eyes. You can see it in the being. It's a distinct, very specific evil entity, as you say, an alien entity, an extra, an outside extraterrestrial type entity that is coming in. And when we say extraterrestrial, we're not speaking alien like people would think. It simply means outside of this terrestrial world, an outside entity. But it's an entity that is not this person. It is not a personality as in another personality, although a demon is a personality, but it's very evil. It's a clear-cut shift in the eyes. And you immediately know you're speaking to a demon. And you know, what is the need of that manifestation? Or what is the danger? Let me ask you this question. What is the danger if we teach deliverance ministries? You've been traveling around. You've been seeing, if we do a deliverance ministry in our church, but we only focus on inner healing and not on the manifestation of the demon, being able to bring it to forefront, not having the anointing perhaps or the knowledge, not being able to bring the demon to forefront, getting him to speak, identifying and casting out. What is the damage that that does to a church or believers?
Well, it does a whole lot of damage. First of all, you don't get rid of the demon. You think you get rid of it, but you don't get rid of it. You tell it to go. Well, how do you need to go? Again, no objectification. There's no proof. So it's what you believe the Lord has shown you. Well, I'm sorry. You may be right. You may be wrong. I'm not willing to risk somebody's life and their future and the pain and suffering that they're in on somebody's subjective interpretation of what is taking place.
Yes.
I want facts. I want it to be forensic. I want to nail it down. I want to know that demon's gone. This person now can really enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they can truly become who God intended them to be. I'm not going to give them false hope. But it's not just knowing the demon is gone, though that's the ultimate critical fact to know. It's how you get to that point. It's what the demon knows that you don't know. And many times, for example, when people come to me directly at our ministry headquarters, I have a big whiteboard. And I chart out a systematic diagram of their life, all of their relationships, all of their influences. And sometimes I fill up this huge board with all this data, all this information about their life, looking to see what pieces of the puzzle will lead to the fullness of Christ, healing and casting out the demon. And one particular case I had, I fill this up with the most unimaginable evil that this person and all their in-laws and outlaws had been through. So there's all this evil. And I said, man, I don't know what to pick. I said, let's let the demon pick.
Come on.
So I called up the spirit. I said, you get up out of that chair. I want you to walk over that board, and I want you to point at exactly where the source of your power is. Got up, walked over, and it was interesting, but when he pointed, he didn't point with the finger. He pointed like this. It went right there, and it pointed right at a particular person in the genealogy of that individual, living genealogy, who had been a sexual pervert, a pedophile, and all sorts of things. And the demon just laughed and said, that's the source of everything we're doing. So what did we do? We know. We cancel that, put it under the blood of Jesus.
Come on.
Cut that off. The demon's gone. He's got nothing more to hang on to. Yeah, if you really want to get rid of a demon, find out why he's there, cut it off, and he's got to go. And, and all you have to do, and you know this, you just, they go on and on. Well, I've been here forever, and I have a right, and so on, gave them to me.
So many generations.
You have legal authority to stay. I've done my homework. I've asked the questions. We've canceled anything. Do you have a right? Well, I've been here a long time. Do you have the right? Well, she likes me. Do you have the right? You know how it is. They'll argue everything.
Yes.
Only by getting the demon to speak can you determine that. One more thing I want to say. Jesus got information. The one instance we told a demon to shut up, in Mark, that has to do with the synagogue manifestation, and he did not want a demon to prematurely tell everybody who he was, so they set out to kill him before he got anything done. Sure. That was really simple to explain that.
Yes.
But we know that Jesus did hundreds, maybe thousands of exorcisms, casting out demons. We don't know what happened every single time.
Yes.
But
yes.
We do know We do know from church history how it was done. In our Bob Larson University online course, we teach that. We do know the testimony of the early church fathers who speak about the demons manifesting and their behavior and the types of demon gods that entered into them. So this, let me just tell you quickly. In yes. Bob Larson University, one of the areas that we cover is where this shift took place. This shift took place during the Reformation. It was only post-Reformation that they got the idea that you don't get a demon to speak, or you don't get a manifestation out of a demon. Jeez. And it's because of a big argument between the Catholics and the Protestants about who had the most power over demons. And finally, what the Protestants, the Catholics kept their exorcism manifestations, and the Protestants came along and said, we're just not even going to deal with this. We changed the subject. We're not going to talk about it anymore. Yes. We're going to do deliverance. We're not going to call it exorcism. We're not going to get demons to speak. We're not going to do anything. And now we've had 500 years of that legacy. And yet, and this is the interesting thing, you come from a more charismatic Pentecostal persuasion. And some of the people watching come from that. Do your history. Go back to the start of these movements. They were started in deliverance and demonic manifestations and directly dealing with demons until these movements got so successful they became embarrassed.
To have
mess up their well-constructed system of church building. Come on. And so... Yes. They didn't want that stuff around anymore because this marketing team over here said, you want to build a mega church, this is the model, and that doesn't belong in the model. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Jeez. You know,
I want to add to this, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
This is the most blessed ministry any man or woman of God will ever get into. The most blessed. You get to see the greatest miracles on the planet take place in front of your eyes. Many times you get that demon of cancer out, the person is healed. It's just like that. It's over. The lifetime of torment, it's ended. And then you see them a little while later, they're married, they're happy, they got families, they're contributing to the body of Christ. It's wonderful, the joy that we have. It's seeing people set free and seeing the devil humiliated. It's what some of you pastors are missing. You're selling yourself short. And, you know, I'm a very blessed man. And I say this many, many times. People say, oh, you know, it's scary stuff and bad stuff will happen. I'm a blessed man. I got a great marriage, wonderful wife, three wonderful yes. children. I have amazing friends. I have great health. I have stamina, strength, and enthusiasm. What's not to like about doing deliverance? I love it. It's great. Try it. You'll be amazed that it will do for you. When you see that demon manifest, back down, bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and get out. Your life will never be the same.
And you know, Dr. Bob, As you are saying about, you know, the blessed, I mean, I think the most powerful or the strongest anointing I've ever felt in any type of ministry, ministering to people, is in the area of deliverance. That the moment that demon manifests and you are face to face with that demonic, I mean, you walk out of that. Once that person is set free, you walk out of that session with the anointing on you, you know, which just really tells you the approval, the validation, or the approval of God's presence, God's word on this, you know. Deliverance is seen as a miracle. I want people to, you know, when we look at signs, wonders, and miracles in Scripture, deliverance falls under the category of a miracle, meaning that when a deliverance is taking place upon somebody, it's an actual miracle that is taking place. And we're trying to minimize it, you know, and as Dr. Bob said, one of the questions Dr. Bob was actually asking you, what is the result of somebody that is fully delivered? You know, there is people who think that I'll give an example for it. What is the result of somebody that is fully delivered? Like you were explaining just now in short, like there's a fullness, there's a wholeness. Obviously, that's on you as a deliverance minister. But somebody that's gone through deliverance, deliverance is complete on their lives. They received full deliverance. Is there a wholeness of mind? Is there a full-on peace, a joy? You know, we see after the movement and reformation of deliverance, even in the book of Acts, when major deliverance took place, that there was joy that was breaking out. A lot of God's people are so sour, you know, there's no joy there. And voices, is there a place where somebody can say that their mind is clear from voices? Is there a place of wholeness where Christians can get, you know, what is the result of a person that is really fully delivered that you've seen successful deliverance on?
Okay, so it depends on the individual, but almost everybody has an immediate reaction. And they say things, you've heard this, I feel light. I feel like something's lifted. That heaviness I had when I came here, I don't feel that anymore. And that bitterness and hate I had toward everybody, that I just don't feel that anymore. And I remember one lady, I'll never forget this. The only time this ever happened to me, she got delivered and she was looking around the room and she said, colors. Color. I'm seeing colors. She said, my whole life I've only seen black and white. If people talk about colors, I never saw colors. Some people say, I smell things differently. I sense things differently. Now, a lot of people have that immediate euphoria, and it's a great thing when it happens. But depending on how deeply the person has been damaged, other people will need a period of recovery, convalescence. And this is where the church has to step in and say, you know what? Now we're going to minister to your emotional and spiritual healing needs so that you can become full in Christ. So I love it when people have that, praise God, I'm free sense of euphoria. But if they don't get that, it doesn't mean that the process wasn't working. It just means that now they have to walk through that deliverance to a new normal, a new reality. And I'm talking about people who have maybe been possessed from the moment of conception. Maybe they were severely sexually, physically, emotionally abused as a child. They've got a recovery process. It's different for everybody. But the majority of people distinctively sense something is leaving. You're right. The voices are gone. Those thoughts, I should, you know, drive off a cliff. That's gone. Yeah. I don't think that way anymore.
And that voices of rejection, where they continually, yeah, they're bad. Or, you know, these, when you're in a room, I'm trying to tell people, it's, even when they're in a room and they think people are saying this, they think people are saying this about them and talk, you know, those voices of constant rejection and, you know, those things you can get free of.
Yeah, yeah. So there are the psychodynamics of exorcism varies with the individual. The measure of it varies, but the essence of feeling free, everybody has that. Now, you and I both know that sometimes you have this great deliverance / exorcism, and that's just round one. All right? They're going to need another one. And another one and another one, okay?
Yes.
So they have that euphoria. The devil regroups. He attacks from another angle. Well, this is what some pastors don't want to have to deal with. It's hard work. Yes. What do you mean I got to pray for this person again? I just like to lay hands on him once and have it all over with. Well, it doesn't always happen that way, Pastor. So you may have to suck it up and go pray with this person again and fight more demons. But eventually, there's an end. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
But are you going to be with that person for better or for worse for the long haul, to be committed to see them restored to the image in which Christ made them before the devil ravaged their life? Or are you just too plain lazy to have to do the necessary work that the Holy Spirit wants to take them through? You know, we just got a lot of lazy preachers out there who don't want to do this. It's hard work. But again, at the end of it, what's the payoff? Joy, yes. Blessing. and the lessons you learn in your own life that make you stronger as you watch God work in other lives.
Come on. You know, I mean, I've known you as a veteran, and when Pastor Vlad introduced me to your ministry, he said, Leon, Dr. Bob is somebody that is in the trenches, in the front line for so many years. Done. I mean, just think of it, everybody that is watching right now, think of it, over 40,000. I read over 40,000, might be 50,000. I mean, 50,000 deliverances, one-on-one deliverances, deliverance cases. That makes you a veteran. It takes you, and what I really appreciate about you, Dr. Bob, and your university is that you look at the historical view of deliverance. You know, you don't just look, yes, we have the scripture there, but it is limited. So, you know, even when we look at doctrine, when we look at different reformations, when we look at Martin Luther, that brought us out of, that brought a reformation, and we have to look at church history to establish a doctrine. You know, I took our church through the essential doctrines last night, the 16 essential doctrines, and I feel that, you know, there's a huge rise of New Age. There's a huge rise of a lot of New Age in the church. And then people steer off the slight doctrines, essential doctrines. You know, the moment you begin to move away from the deity of Christ, the depravity of humanity, and we can look through the inspiration, that the total inspiration of Scripture, and we can look at the Trinity, we can look at the humanity of Christ plus the deity of Christ, we can look at the bodily resurrection, the return. So when we look at the doctrines, I took our church to the doctrines online, all our campuses, just for them to explain, because there's a rise of New Age in the church, and which it's just a slight deviation from a essential doctrine that can bring it in. I saw some people that is involved in a lot of New Age ministry. I saw some people that are online in the comments and so on tonight. That's why I want them to hear this. You know, a lot of people go through church hurt. Yes?
Can I say something there?
Go ahead, yes.
I've ministered virtually over the last several years to many people in South Africa. One thing that's been a surprise to me is that my reaction is the numbers of people drawn into the New Age movement and modern occultism in South Africa is as great or greater than any other country outside of the United States. And when I talk to these South African people, they're getting into really weird stuff. I mean, really weird stuff. That's just kind of off the charts, very esoteric stuff.
Yes.
South Africa is a hotbed for this right now, and any minister of the gospel is not practicing due diligence to his calling if he's not educated about this and confronting it and dealing with it and understanding it. Get up to speed, pastors. It's taking over.
Come on.
The people out there who are unaffiliated and are not walking with Christ. And they're in a desperate condition. So this is something that is a part of the fabric of South African culture. I know it. Get up to speed on it. Learn about it. Start battling it. Start preaching against it. And you're going to get some demonic manifestations. Be ready for it.
and there's a rise. We have, I can't mention it, I won't mention it by name on this broadcast, but there are mega churches. That's been a big concern for us, you know, in the body of Christ, in the mainstream churches here that we're discussing as just circle of relationships and friends. There are mega churches in the city of Johannesburg. There's another one in Port Elizabeth. There's another one, there's quite a few in Cape Town. I'm speaking of mega churches that has gone to New Age. You know, they've strayed from the essential doctrines of Christ. They begin, it's a slight deviation where they begin to think that they are God. So it's a self-worship of self. And people are not getting free. You know, I've seen a lot of these churches, and I'm speaking of 5,000-8,000 people, even more, that are sometimes full-blown homosexual. The pastor's homosexual. And I wanted to ask you this, is what signs have you seen, or what have you seen happens to mega church, or now I say mega church, let me say church pastors, whether they have a small ministry or large ministry, but if they have a problem, a serious problem, where it's something like a sexual problem, lust, and it seems small because they're just starting off ministry, but they're covering the thing, and they're not going through proper deliverance, they keep hiding it up. What have you seen the dangers if somebody who's leading a ministry doesn't go through deliverance. You know, we've seen stories in the United States of young pastors that run big churches that shoot themselves in the head. Then nobody knew about it, or they get on pills. We have the situation with Hillsong. We have the, you know, we have pastors that go through burnout. And what is the dangers, what you have seen, your experience with ministry leaders and pastors that haven't accepted full deliverance?
I've got a lot of experience because I don't have anybody to report to in an ecclesiastical sense, so they can trust me, they can come to me. I'm not part of their denomination or their group, and they can tell me things in confidence that they're afraid might get out, and then their whole ministry is destroyed. But I will go to my grave with the names of some of the most famous people in Christianity who have sought me out privately, filled with demons. Most of them never talk about it afterwards. They just go on with their lives and go on with their ministry, and that's fine.
Yes, yes.
But let me give you an example. I had a pastor come to me, good man of God, believes in deliverance. And he sits down and he says, I need your help. All right. I have a lust problem. Okay. I've been involved with a lot of women while I've been pastoring this church. Okay. How many? About 100. What? 100. Not 2 or 3 or 4, not just a failing here or there. 100. How do you unravel that? How do you not say that pastor has demons? How does that happen? I had another pastor come to me, tried to kill me. They had to drag him off of me. He had a spirit of murder. If I said his name, everybody in this audience would know the name. To this day, he's never mentioned a word about having come to see me. But he threatened to kill me. He assaulted me. I could tell you other stories like that.
Of course. Of course.
Being a pastor. I don't care if you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, an elder, whatever your title is. If you don't deal with your stuff is going to deal with you.
Come on.
If you don't deal with your stuff, it's going to come out somewhere. And some of you have worked very hard to be faithful and true to your calling. But there's something in your past you've never talked about, you've never dealt with, something you just hid away somewhere, and it keeps coming back to bite you in the you-know-what. Well, you need deliverance. You need an exorcism. You need prayer. You need a little humility to say, here I am, Lord. It's me. It doesn't mean that you lack calling. You may have a prophetic gift. You may have a healing gift. You may have all types of gifts.
Yes, yes.
God's not going to take away those gifts. He just wants to deliver you so you can be more powerful in those gifts instead of exercising those gifts and hating yourself and privately using drugs and getting drunk and carrying on in ways that you're trying to dull this ache in your heart. This says, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a phony. You can't take enough drugs that'll still that voice. You need deliverance.
Come on.
The world doesn't have to know about it. You can contact me in private. I'm sure Pastor Dupree has opportunities of ministry to people, men and women of God and Christian leadership.
Yes.
Get some help. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means something bad happened to you and there may be a bad curse and it's finally caught up to you.
Come on. Sure. You know, I want to encourage everybody on here, Dr. Bob, as you were talking, I mean, when, you know, because deliverance kind of like broke up in our ministry, we had a lot of ministers contacting us in private, visiting us in private to come for deliverance. And it's shocking how you know, like I said, it's a big problem. I know there's a lot of people on right now that, and I know you're going to get a lot of contact as well from people, but people need freedom. But I, you know, I do believe that, look, there's some of our people, including myself, that when you prayed last time, we caught this, and I believe in impartation as much as what I also believe in, obviously, education and information. I just do believe, and I want to emphatically make this clear again. you know, that people need to be trained in deliverance, because an untrained person that's doing deliverance can do so much more danger and can do so much more harm to an individual. And they just say they want to grow and experience as they want to, they can cause harm. And Dr. Bob, I mean, you've got an international school of online school of exorcism, and you've got international online school of an advanced exorcism school. And you know, I want to encourage people to go on there. I mean, it's on your website. That is Bob Larson, Bob Larson Life.
Yeah, BobLarson.org is the place you want to go.
BobLarson.org.
You know, all your BobLarsonUniversity.org.
BobLarsonUniversity.org. So yeah, you can, but also if you can just Google it, you'll find it, you know?
Yeah. Look, in Bob Larson University, we have right now 70 online courses with study guides and training videos. I mean, this is serious stuff. It is very deep stuff. It's not something you're going to use in every deliverance and exorcism process, but it's something that if you know it, it's there and it guides you. And then we give you a template and a protocol of a model of how to go about this. Stylistically, everybody has to kind of do their own thing. You know, I mean, I love my cross. I love the devil's face. And I love hearing them say, we know that thing. We've seen that thing. We heard about it. Get it away from us. Or maybe you got your own cross. You got, you know, that's just me. Okay, but there are certain things you can do, this process. So you the first thing you do is you try to get to know this person you're ministering to. And you often can't do this. Now, I'm not totally opposed to mass deliverance, a place and time for it to stir up the devil and come against him, but it's not a definitive process, and you should not ever give people the impression that in mass prayers they're getting all their issues dealt with. It's a starting point. It stirs things up. It creates a spiritual hunger. And that's fine. That's good.
Yes.
But you can't say to a mass of people, when I say these three words, you're all going to be delivered of your demons. That just ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's giving them a false hope. But then you need a process of finding out who they are, something about them, what their issues are, what they've been involved in, and you need to build a knowledge base. You can take days, weeks, months figuring that out, who knows? But you need to take at least 5 minutes to find out something about that person. And then now you know, okay, this is likely where the person has been targeted.
Yes.
That's pretty clear. Oh, you were molested when you were 5. Oh, you were incested by a cousin at the age of 12. Oh, you were raped and you were 18. I think I smell a Jezebel spirit here. Okay, you know? Everybody in the family, all the men in the family die before their 50th birthday. There are so many violent accidents. I wonder if there's a spirit of death here.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah, and so you want a bit of information diagnostically. What would have happened if you walk into the doctor's office and he doesn't do any blood tests, he doesn't do any scans, he doesn't do any x-rays, he just looks at you and says, I feel that you have such and such. You say, that's not what I came here for. Somebody who knows what they're talking about and studies me for a little bit to see what I've got. We do this with people in deliverance.
Come on.
Sometimes, I've been in a situation where somebody comes to me and they say, well, I have this. I say, how do you know you have that demon? Well, I've got this. Well, how do you know that? Well, somebody told me. Somebody prophesied it. Somebody laid hands on me and said, I sense that you have a spirit of Leviathan. Well, you may or you may not. But if I get Leviathan to manifest, I'm going to confirm that prophetic word that was given and that word of knowledge. But I'm not going to operate on that. Now, I will tell you, Pastor, I had an interesting situation just a couple of days ago with an individual who had served in the military in Iraq. All right? And manifested several demons, but we weren't getting the demon out. the Lord gave me a word of knowledge.
Yes.
And
yes.
I said, you picked up Leviathan from the Euphrates River, and that demon went berserk.
Jeez, come on.
Well, that's the river that flows through Baghdad. It flows through Iraq. And Leviathan comes up out of the waters of the deep. I love it when God shows me something like that. But it doesn't always happen that way.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes we just have to be patient as the Holy Spirit takes us step by step by showing us through the individual what's going on. If we could just marry the supernatural with the practical, we would have good success and deliverance. But either people want it to be so practical, all healing work and no kicking devil butt work, or we have people who want it to be all prophetic and supernatural without having to take time to get a manifestation for proof. That's my speech. I'm sticking with it.
This is gold, and I don't think people can understand the magnitude of this, because if anybody's in South Africa, you would know that we have been taught the opposite, you know, coming out of every church movement in South Africa. And this is, Dr. Bob, this side of you, side of your deliverance ministry, you know, has brought a revolution. It has shifted our ministry when we began to apply that and understood it. I mean, we always knew, but to just have that affirmation, to know, you need to have a person manifest, or I mean, for the demon to identify. It's, I mean, it's common sense. Sometimes we so overlook common sense. You know, you don't want the doctors we go to that don't have medical degrees and so on. We obviously call them quacks. You know, they make up stuff. They I've been to so many natural doctors, and I believe in natural and herbs and so on. But you know, we into so many natural doctors, they'll just look at you and they'll just assume something. You don't want to be in that. When your life is in danger, you don't want to be in the hands of someone. Somebody like that. You want to be in the hands of somebody that is a specialist, you know, whether it's a surgeon, whether it's in cancer, but a specialist with your problem. You know, I'm sitting with some of your books. I mean, this is not even to sell it. I know people can get it all over, but I just wanted to show the interest of, you know, we've got actually all your books that we could get in South Africa. I mean, here's just three that I have with me. The others are my library. I mean, this is Dealing with Demons, you know, Curse Breaking, and obviously Jezebel, the other one on world religions and so on, I've got in my library. But your books have helped me. When you said about your BobLawsonUniversity.org, when you spoke about it's really deep courses, you know, we went through many of those courses. It has educated me, even as a minister, when I thought I knew a lot, or even when I thought I knew everything, you know, you get onto that university, you realize you don't know anything. I want to encourage people, get yourself informed. Those ministers that are watching, pastors that are watching, there's something new when it comes to WAVE in South Africa that we have to open up with deliverance. We see too many people that are told or that's going for deliverance, but they're not being delivered. You know, there's people that's doing it for sensationalism, not going into the method, not going into systematically, taking time, taking somebody through it, and they just want to use it as a show. I have been there. I've been through it. I think any charismatic minister has been through it, because that's how we've been trained. But, you know, I always want to know truth. I'm hungry for truth, Dr. Bob. I'm hungry for truth about any subject. And, you know, whether it's eschatology, whether it is the prophetic, whether it is deliverance, spiritual warfare, exorcism, I want to know the truth. I want to teach my church the truth. And we as a church are going through a journey. I know we have all our branches on watching tonight. We have implemented deliverance inner healing, the whole process, into our discipleship course. So the moment somebody gets saved, the moment they get saved, giving their heart to the Lord, we immediately take them through a process of deliverance. We start surface level, and then once there is major manifestations, once there are things that we see, we then take them into more of an advanced deliverance. And you know, when a lot of people ask us, what is the key of our church growth? Because our church really grew suddenly. And people think it's prophecy. They think it's a prophetic, because that's sensational at a time, but they never knew it was deliverance and discipleship and the key of renewing your mind afterwards. You know, I think if somebody hasn't renewed their mind, they don't know how to keep their deliverance. You know, to after deliverance, to get into the word, renewing your mind. You know, we have the saying, repentance, renunciation, you know, casting out, and we go through that process that we've simplified. But I think a lost thing that a lot of people don't put in, and a lot of churches don't put in, is renewing of the mind, getting into the word. There's nothing that has caused me to keep to my deliverance as to get into the Word, get into a good church, and being discipled by a Bible-believing church. You know, I was doing once a meeting, revival meetings, doing deliverance in a church. I mean, somebody was manifesting, they came forward, I did deliverance on them in front of the whole church. The pastor was so upset. Afterwards, they called me, and it was quite a big church, called me in, said, you know, how could I do deliverance in a church? Jesus never did it in a church, and how unholy is it? That pastor doesn't have his church today. You know, he lost his whole church. He had a church of about 500 people. People very strong in the city that I was at. I have seen other pastors that I've ministered at, mega churches, pastors that were caught up in adultery that never wanted to speak about it. The Lord gave me a prophecy, gave me a word. I go up to the pastors, tell them about the problem. I'll just whisper it into their ear. And it is one pastor specifically in a city that is well known that had about, I think, 2,000-3,000 people. Church is gone, was caught out in that act of adultery. And we have many such cases. When I began to see the lack of deliverance in the body was when I was still young. I just got newly saved. Demons began to manifest around us. We did deliverance. But it was when I did a youth camp, and there was about 10 or 15 youth pastors at the camp. And when I began to do mass deliverance, and then we'd take all the people through deliverance, the pastors begin to manifest, not even the people. And you know, you'll have this pastor that growls like a lion, and he actually brought his youth there, but he got confronted immediately with the power of God. And then, you know, my wife did partly deliverance even on them, and we were young. I mean, we were really young. We were saved 2 years, 3 years. We didn't know what was happening, but that's why I saw the lack of knowledge of deliverance. And then those pastors begin to confess to me their pornography problems that they are in, that they can't talk with, you know. And I think that a lot of people, and I want to encourage, I mean, when I even sat with you, Dr. Bob, you have a humility, there's no judgmental. I think people are used to coming to somebody that wants to do deliverance on them, and so there's a very judgmental spirit, there's a very critical spirit, you know, and then people don't feel safe. So I think one of the reasons that you've kept your deliverance ministry strong is because of the integrity, the confidentiality. You know, you've had major names coming to you, and God knows, obviously, those that will be kept like that. But I want to thank you for this, Dr. Bob. I want to ask, you know, if you can pray for all of us on here. Before I go there, maybe just as a teaser, maybe we can just, a lot of people have been asking, maybe you can give us just a few signs. You know, a lot of people are asking, how do I know I'm delivered? If I'm in a church, I don't know if I'm delivered. I'm listening to this now. You know, I still have things in me. And what are major signs that would be in someone's life if they need deliverance? Let's talk about
what are the major signs that you have a demon?
Yes.
Well, you talked about it earlier. There may be voices in the head. Now, it could be psychotic delusions. It could be schizophrenia. There could be other things. But it could be a demon. I like to look at the patterns of a person's life rooted in genealogy and in the family of origin and the extended family of origin to see, are there symptoms of evil? Are there things that just don't fit? And when it's outside of the paradigm of the normal bad things that happen, because life happens and stuff happens.
Of course.
It's not always perfect. But when you have a magnitude of things, and the way I look at it is, how many bad things have happened to you and how bad are they? So when you have a lot of bad things and you're not really a bad person and those bad things are really bad, ask yourself the question. Because so much evil happened to one individual who means so well in wanting to serve God. Something's going on. And what could it hurt to undergo to get in touch with Pastor Leon and go over to meet his people and go through some prayer sessions? What's that going to hurt? It may take a little humility on your part, you know, especially if you're in some type of leadership position to say, you know, would you check me out? Would you pray with me?
Yes.
Until you go through that process, you'll never know if it's just bad stuff in a fallen world, or if it's the active agency of an evil spirit that's using stuff in your life, metastasizing it into something diabolic. You'll never know that unless you get some prayer. Do that. Seek some help and get a spiritual checkup. You know, we say, well, well, every year or so, get yourself a physical checkup. Get yourself a spiritual checkup. Okay? All right. And I'd love to pray with all of you, and I'd love to say a prayer for those who are out there who may have been stirred up by this conversation and considering some things they haven't considered before. So let's pray for them.
Yes.
Father in heaven, there are people we've targeted today by the Holy Spirit and leadership, and they have various responsibilities within the body of Christ, and yet their private struggles are tormenting. Help these people to know that if it is the devil, bad seed has been sown somehow, generationally or in their family or in their younger years. They don't have to keep punishing themselves. They don't have to believe that they're bearing some cross and some burden. They have a right to be free. And I ask you, Lord, to stir up in people's minds, thinking about what's going on in their family, what's going on in their life. If there are some markers there that seem to indicate unnatural things were happening. And I pray, Lord, you'll minister to the people out there who have lived under such guilt and condemnation because they think they're such a horrible person. They can't defeat this secret evil in their life. Help them to understand it could be something that needs the prayer of others. As you said, Lord, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, and you will be healed. You've given us the model to do it, Lord. And bless this pastor and his people as they stick their necks out and are bold enough to introduce people to the possibility of Satan's active agency in their lives. Bless them, prosper them, grow them according to your will and purpose, that they may help more people, and especially that broken person who's been watching now. And they've been asking the question, is it me? Is it the devil? Is it life? Or is it Satan? Help them now, Lord, to be able by the Holy Spirit to pinpoint some things that are just unmistakable indications that Satan is doing something. Give them the courage to reach out and to get the help they need to know the joy of freedom. And Satan, we bind you, all of your lies, spoken into the mind of every person who's listening. Every evil spirit who's been assigned to this interview today to sow doubt, cynicism, skepticism, even bitterness about what's been said. We resist that. We just lift up the name of Jesus and pray that there will be open hearts and open minds. And that you, Satan, will be defeated in the lives of those who have watched today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we speak these things. Thank you, Pastor. It's been a thrill to be with you, but I'm going to have to go because I've got a line of people waiting to see me today, virtually and in person.
Yes.
And I've got to walk the talk and get out of this chair and go cast out some demons.
No, thank you, Dr. Bob. Just want to say for a few seconds, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to value your time. I know that you need to go. As you go off, Dr. Bob, I'm going to be in contact with you on text or email. I'm going to ask people on here. We're going to bless Dr. Bob. We don't get anybody on here without blessing them. So thank you for your time, Dr. Bob. I'm going to talk to you afterwards. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Love you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, guys. I hope you all enjoyed that. It was, when I say this again, that I don't say lightly, that I believe he has one of the best, the foremost deliverance ministries for me on the planet. You know, I have learned from Dr. Bob the last 3 years when I got to know his ministry. You know, before that, we were introduced, obviously, by other deliverance ministry, but he has touched in realms, and we barely touched the surface of interrogation of the reality. We didn't even touch in the areas of the soul. We didn't even touch in the areas of dissociative. We didn't touch in the areas of even the satanic, the occult. We just touched on the surface level of deliverance. And I hope it stirred a lot of you on here. I believe even pastors, ministers are going to begin to reach out to this, whether it's reaching out to us, reaching out to Dr. Bob, they're going to reach out for help. I want to ask everybody on here. I don't get anybody on without blessing them. We don't get anybody on without honoring them and honoring their time. We want to honor Dr. Bob's time. You know, I know he has appointments and schedules hour after the hour after the hour with individual schedules and bookings. He's very busy, you know. So I want us to bless him. You know, the seed that you're going to give in here, we're going to bless him. We're going to take an amount of that, bless him and honor him for his time. Some of you are on here. It's time for you also to tithe or to sow. You tithe to this ministry or you sow to this ministry. Even if you want to partner, you can partner with this ministry by going to the website, leondeprayer.com, and you can become a partner, a monthly partner of this ministry. But apart from that, if you want to sow a seed, you have both of our accounts here. This is our prophetic ministry, our broadcast ministry. This one on this side is our church ministry. You can give in either of those ministries your seed, your offering, your tithe, or is something just to bless Dr. Bob on. We're going to be doing the transfer to him. So I'm going to put the details below you, and we're going to put the international details on. I want you to take a moment and give something towards this. We really appreciate you. So I'm going to be switching between international and local accounts. So this is the international. And then I'm going to pray for you, just for those who are sowing a seed, just to say thank you. To those who have given something, to say thank you. Some it's a time of tithing, as I said. I want to pray for you. So this is the international details, guys. You've got Cash App there. You've got the Venmo there. You've got our mailing address to send checks to. This is our international. Please take a screenshot. Turn the phone sideways. Take a screenshot. I'm going to put the local details on again. And then let me know if you have given something. We appreciate it. To those who want to become a partner, you can go to leondeprayer.com. You can become a partner. Let me know in the comments also quickly how many of you were touched, how many of you were blessed tonight. So as I change from international, just take a screenshot. I'm putting on the local details again, but all our details is on our website, leondeprayer.com or encounterchurch.co.za. As you scroll down on those home pages, you'll see our giving platforms, credit card, PayPal, everything is there to give EFT on the local site. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Let me know in the comments as I read your comments just before we close. I'm going to pray for you. Just to say thank you for those who gave. Let me know if you guys were blessed. Let me know if you guys received something tonight. I see people saying they gave. Thank you so much, guys. Remember, we have our prophetic retreat coming up end of August, which is, what is the dates? 21st to the 24th of August is our prophetic retreat, is our online retreat. You can get more info at leondeprayer.com, at my website, leondeprayer.com, and you'll get the details on there. You know, so those who are giving, I see people saying seed sown, give. Thank you so much, guys. I'm changing again from local to international. Let me pray quickly for everybody on here, those who are given. Even as I'm praying, as you're giving, I want to say thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support. This ministry, we have a broadcast ministry that goes worldwide. We had tonight over 2,000 people watching at a time. I know many people were blessed. We had many churches that logged on that were watching. Let me pray for you, for those who are giving to this ministry. Father, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for your presence. I pray for everyone that is sowing into this ministry, even those who are sowing into Dr. Bob's ministry, even if they go to his website, that they'll be blessed, that the anointing will come upon them, that they'll receive a reward for any giving that they give, that you will cause them to receive back, that those who give, it shall be given unto them, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Those who are giving us tithe, as seed, as offering, those who are becoming a monthly partner, may you bless them. May the anointing rest upon them. May you cause their finances to be blessed. May everything that is limiting, every curse that is holding them, be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Awesome. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. And what is our next? What do we have coming up? What is today? A Thursday. So we have Daniel Adams with us next week, Sunday. That's right, next week, Sunday. Next week, Friday in Cape Town. Next week, Friday in Cape Town, guys. Sunday morning, Sunday night in Centurion. Krugersdorp this Sunday evening in Centurion. Do not miss it. It's my friend Daniel Adams. He's moving in the apostolic. He has a massive apostolic call upon his life, evangelistic call upon his life, moving in signs, wonders, and miracles, moving in deliverance. It is going to be amazing revival meetings at Encounter. He's doing a South African tour, obviously visiting Encounter churches the Friday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He's only coming to Encounter on this South African trip. So do not miss. Log in online. And come visit our branches. Remember, Cape Town, Friday night, next week, Friday night. And that's all, eh? Up until then. Women's conference after that, yes. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. And we're going to see you this Sunday morning, this Sunday evening. God bless you.